All right, welcome back. Today we're joined, as always, by our basketball guy, Mr. Jacob Kaufman, senior basketball analyst.
Hey, pleasure to be back.
And tomorrow evening is when NBA free agency officially begins. So we wanted to break down and kind of give a preview for four teams that we follow pretty avidly, and then also just like the big name free agents where we think they're going to end up. And then we also have some fun, I guess a little fun thing at the end about James Harden and him opting in, and kind of what does that imply for not just the Sixers, but for other teams that are interested. And will we see any blockbuster deals in the next few days? I guess right off the bat, big thing for us is looking at overall the big name free agents. So we have, Harden has opted in, so we'll get to him later. But we have Kyrie, who's on the market. We have Draymond Green. We also want to talk about Austin Reeves and Cam Johnson. And then I think, just in general, starting with Kyrie, I feel like legitimately it makes sense for him to go to the Mavs, re-sign with the Mavs. It's funny that he's taking a meeting with the Suns at the opening of free agency. Of course, Chris Haynes reported that. So Chris Haynes is like the Kyrie and Damian Lillard guy. He has like all of their stories first. But he said, so Kyrie's meeting with the Suns at the start of free agency. Most likely, I think he's just using that as leverage to get the full max out of the Mavs. But what do you think, Jacob?
Yeah, I agree. I think he's going to get the full max for the Mavs. And at that point, there's no reason not to try and run it back and see what happens. He's batshit insane. And so wherever he goes, it's going to be interesting. I definitely say Mavs are a leading possibility there. He also, the Rockets have apparently requested a meeting.
Really? Wow.
Super, super exciting for me. I highly doubt anything happens there.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, honestly, like Fred VanVleet is a better fit for you guys culture-wise than Kyrie.
I would agree. I think Fred VanVleet is a better fit culture-wise for basically every team.
Very true. Very true, except for the Mavericks, I guess.
culture-wise,
he'd still be a better fit. He'd still be a better fit.
Yeah, on a basketball fit, probably not.
Yeah. But I think we both think Kyrie to the Mavs. If we want to look at, like, I guess, contract specifics, I'm probably thinking, like, 3 or 4 years. I don't think they give him five. I really don't think they're going to give him five. I'm thinking like 4 for 160, perhaps, like maybe like a Chris Paul like contract that he got with the Suns.
I really hope it's not five. He is eligible for 5 for 272.
Five for 272. That is just, man.
Yeah, I hope Mark Cuban has only been fooled once and won't happen again. But I think 4 years, like 200, sounds about right to me.
Sounds right. Yeah. And then I guess now we'll move on to the next guy. I guess we'll go with Draymond. I think like 3 or 4 year contract as well. Again, these guys are big names, but it's like there's no real big name player that's in their prime. These are kind of guys who are on the end of their primes that are kind of more of the big names. All the prime guys are just staying home, which is nice to see. Unlike, the LeBron, KD era. It's nice to see, like, guys just being loyal. But Draymond, I think, honestly, it'd be very interesting. But I do think that his connection with Dame is real. But I'd still think he's going to end up with the Warriors. Like, I think Warriors probably 3 for 100.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I definitely think he's sticking around. I did see that him and Dame got dinner the other night. I saw that. I think the Kings might offer him more money. They have a lot of money, I just have a hard time seeing him going to a division rival like that.
Well, he respects Fox, but he doesn't respect Sabonis, right? So it's like, after the playoff series. That's what he said. I mean, who knows? Now he has Chris Paul on his team, who he's openly on podcast said, "I don't respect Chris Paul." So.
Yeah, I'd say, Patrick Beverley and Russell Westbrook can squash their beef. Draymond can squash his
Exactly.
beef with just about anybody. I don't think he
Yeah.
respected Jordan Poole much, but
No,
he
no.
made it a year.
Well, they shipped him across the country, so there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, so I think, yeah, so I guess we both have Draymond probably re-signing. I would say with Sacramento, just a side note here, Sacramento, they re-signed Harrison Barnes to a 3-year, $54 million deal right before we got on.
Hard not to.
I think that is like, I don't know, in my opinion, that just ensures that they're not going to win a playoff series. I'm not the biggest fan of Harrison Barnes, I'll be honest. Like, I feel like he was very tight in this series with the Warriors. And like, that was a spot that I was like looking at their roster and I'm like, why not give 3 and 54 to Kuzma? Like, why not give it to him or someone who's just a bit more confident with the ball in his hands? But
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't think Harrison Barnes is like a sexy player who's more than like a fourth option. But also I don't think you can afford Kuzma for 3 years, 54. I don't
Yeah,
know.
well, yeah. Maybe, I mean, maybe you'd have to give him maybe 3 and 72 or something, like just a bit more pricey, but I don't know. Keegan Murray is a better version of Harrison Barnes, and he was a rookie. You know that's my, I don't know. When I was watching the series, it's like they have one spot they can upgrade. It's Harrison Barnes' spot. They can still get really good depth around the team by all means, like they have enough cap room. But I mean, it's like, come on, man.
Yeah, I get that. And yeah, I mean, obviously he's like 31 now. And it's unlikely that like he's contributing at a super high level when he's 34 on the third year. But I don't know. I think he's a genuinely seems like a good person.
Oh, yeah. No,
It's like a good
absolutely.
locker room presence, especially for a young team. I mean, that's important. So I don't know.
Very
I would have
much.
been happy with him on the Rockets, honestly.
Yeah, but yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, he would definitely. He's a professional. That's a big thing. So I guess now we'll move on to Austin Reaves. So this is where it's not necessary. It's a bit more interesting, but he is a restricted free agent. So what do you think happens with Austin Reaves?
Yeah, I floated this name as a possibility when we were talking about this like a week ago as somebody who I thought would be interesting to see leave. I think at this point it sounds like he'll be back. The Lakers are willing to go pretty high, about like 4 years, 100, which obviously that's about the max that any team can offer him. And so with him being a restricted free agent, his hands kind of forced there. But yeah, that's sort of where I'm at right now.
I think the rumors are like 4 for 100, probably. Like, I think personally, I feel like he'd sign an offer sheet with maybe the Spurs, who knows? But yeah, I think it's the Lakers are gonna match automatically. Or maybe they negotiate an extension with him rather quickly, who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. I think 4 years, 100 million is a lot for him, and
It is, but I
the
mean, they could throw,
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Their window is called closing though, if it's not already
Oh,
closed.
yeah. Yeah,
But
exactly.
yeah, you need to go all in, and that means re-signing him at whatever cost.
Yep. And then I guess like that kind of takes us to Cam Johnson, who I guess the Nets are, by all means, they are not, their window is not closing. Their window hasn't even opened yet, right? So, but his chemistry with Mikal Bridges, I think, merits him getting like his offer sheet getting matched, regardless of where he signs that offer sheet. I think they're gonna bring him back. Because again, he's also a good professional, he's a good guy, and he's best friends with their best player. So
Yeah, no, I think it's gonna come down to what Cam Johnson wants. I think he might get more money somewhere else. I think the Pistons are ready to give him
a
Yeah,
ton.
Lomonti Williams. Yeah, there you
Yeah, and they have a lot to spend, there, more than the Nets do.
go. They do.
So yeah, the Nets are in a tough spot. They own none of their picks, so they have every incentive to win now, but they also don't have a good enough roster to win now, or like win even a playoff series. And
Yeah.
so it's tough. As a Rockets fan who owns the Nets picks, I'd love to see them like figure out a deal to where, you know, they can acquire the Nets' best pieces and then send the picks back. And that way, you know, the Nets have an incentive to lose and build for. I think that makes sense for both teams.
No, that makes a lot
But
of sense. So I guess like kind of shifting gears now, you mentioned the Rockets fan thing. So we're gonna talk about like the two teams that we both follow the most. Just because again, we could give a preview for every single NBA team, but that's just not practical. That'd be like a 4-hour podcast. So we'll just give like four teams. Jacob's, his Rockets, we'll start with them. So what do you think the Rockets are gonna do? What do you think they should do, and what do you think they'll actually do?
sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, the Rockets have a ton of cap space this season. And you know, the owner's been pretty clear that, you know, the tanking is over. They're ready to compete. I don't know if they're actually ready, but they're certainly, you know, gonna put their best foot forward and try. And so yeah, with 60 million in cap space, that's enough to afford two really good players, or like one really good player, two okay players. I think they're going to choose the lane that's the one good player and two okay players. And so obviously after the draft, the Rockets picked up Amen Thompson, which is hopefully the point guard of the future, but probably not the point guard of the present. He's just a little bit too raw to be, you know, a starter day one. And so looking to acquire a veteran point guard in free agency. For a while, we thought it would be Harden. You know, I
Yeah.
mentioned them meeting with Kyrie, but realistically, it'll probably be Fred VanVleet. I'm hoping that'll be a shorter, like 2 year, 40 million a year kind of deal. And it sounds like that's what
Sounds like
people
it,
online
yeah.
are expecting. So, you know, I think obviously adding a shot chucker like VanVleet to a team of shot chuckers isn't the most ideal on paper. I hope Ime can figure it out. But he is a great veteran presence, sort of the anti-Amen Thompson in pretty much every way. And so, you know, I definitely see them complementing each other nicely. But we'll see. You know more about Fred than I do. So yeah.
Well, I would
And then,
say,
yeah, go ahead.
no, sorry. Well, from I guess as someone who's watched Fred the past, well, his entire career, he does chuck shots a lot, but he does make them in big games, and it's really annoying. And unlike Marcus Smart, he's not a good defender, but he does give you a much better. He's a much better game manager, and he does set the culture. And he does buy into the coach's culture. Like it was him and Siakam who bought into Nick Nurse. If
Yeah.
yeah, so I guess he is important, but he's also really close with our head coach. And it's one of those things where, as a Raptors fan, I'm happy to see him leave and get 40 million a year because I really don't want us to pay him that because our better playmaker is Scottie Barnes. But he
Sure.
is a good veteran presence to have.
Yeah. And you see the 39% last year, and that's pretty alarming, but you
Yeah.
know just how bad the spacing was for you guys. Hopefully it gets a
Oh,
little bit better
yeah.
when he's playing with guys that can knock down shots.
Yeah,
But
exactly.
certainly, yeah. So excited on that front. And you mentioned the lack of defense. Hopefully the next guy that we pick up can shore that up. It's sounding like Dylan Brooks to the
Oh,
Rockets is
yeah,
just about a sure thing. Less excited for that one. Yeah, it's gonna be obviously an interesting locker room situation. But his antics definitely seem to have like devalued him to a point to where he's
maybe underrated. I don't know if it's a crazy take, but $12 million for one of the elite defenders in the league, somebody who can guard 1 through 4,
Yeah,
is pretty fantastic, especially for a team whose defense has been as abysmal as the
abysmal, yeah.
Rockets have in recent years.
You know, that would be a very interesting lineup for you guys with Dylan Brooks, Tari Eason, and Garuba if you give him any minutes. But defensively, I feel like that'd be very interesting.
Yeah, I don't know where the points are going to come from. I think it could be like the lineups where
Yeah.
Ja was out and Dylan Brooks is just taking every shot.
Oh man, yeah,
And
that wouldn't be.
yeah,
Well, I guess that's you
it's
have like what, five or six shot creators now, so
yeah, shot creators for themselves,
for
not for
themselves.
other
Yeah, they
people.
don't facilitate, so
Yeah, and it's funny when it's other teams that are having to deal with that, but when it's your team, it's a little bit
it's
frustrating.
yeah.
So yeah, I think Dylan Brooks, if Ime can figure him out, will be a good addition.
Yeah.
But it sounds like that's the plan. Then I think the last player that they'll pick up is going to be just some sort of backup big who can work with mentor Şengün
Yeah,
in some
great
way. Some
talent. Great talent.
yeah. So I don't think this is somebody that's going to come in and start or anything, but somebody with a little bit of experience who can, knock down shots. If I had to pick like somebody who I think is like a good candidate for that, I like Trey Lyles a lot.
Oh yeah,
He's
that's a good one.
somebody who can, score at all three levels, defend well, and just like a good energy guy. I don't know, maybe he'll be back with the Kings. But yeah, regardless, I think the Rockets will round the roster out with a third big man.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I like the idea of like instead of going for Brook Lopez, just signing someone to mentor and kind of hype up Şengün, because Şengün is really good. It's one of those where you just, if he can buy in fully to what the Rockets are trying to do, and the Rockets can, if Ime is willing to like unleash him, that would be, but yeah, he's arguably the most talented player on your roster.
Yeah, no,
Arguably,
everything's
yeah.
there right now, in terms of like yeah, the talent and the IQ and everything. It's just a matter of motivating him and then getting him to play in a system that works with the other shot chuckers that we have.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess like if we're, you know, now we kind of have the Rockets, I feel like pretty much covered. It makes sense for them to get three guys. Makes sense for them to get, you know, one marquee guy, two role guys. And I think like when we're looking at the next team, like if we look at like my team, the Raptors, I think honestly, in my opinion, I think we just need better, like we just need shooters. We just need shooting. And we need the ball to be in Scottie Barnes' hands. So, because he's clearly not a shooter, but he's our best player going forward. So if we can surround him with shooters, that would be very fun to see it. I love the Grady Dick pick. Love that. Love that pickup for us. But he's you know, that's a good, it's gonna be a good signing for us, or good free agency. I hope we sign Max Strus. I know he's highly coveted amongst Eastern Conference teams, but I know the Raptors are linked to all the Heat guys, which makes a lot of sense because we play very similarly to Miami. We just don't have Jimmy Butler, so
Or Eric Spoelstra.
or Eric Spoelstra, we don't. But you know, we'll see what our guy Darko, a good coach Darko, we'll see what he has up his sleeve, and we'll just go from there. But I think Max Strus would be important. I would love to replace Fred VanVleet with Gabe Vincent, but Miami would rather have Gabe Vincent than Kyle Lowry, which makes perfect sense. So Kyle, you should come home if you're waived. I don't want to trade for you, Kyle. But if you're waived, come home. But I think really from our standpoint, we have our best ball handler identified. We got a good shooter in the draft. We should probably re-sign Gary Trent Jr. to a 3-year 50, like a Harrison Barnes-like contract. That would make a lot of sense because he was our lone shooter. So it would be nice to have him back in the fold, Scottie at the one, him at the two, Grady at three, Siakam at the four. And then if we can re-sign Jakob Poeltl, that would be great. I'd love to re-sign Poeltl.
Yeah, sounds like he's going to be expensive, right?
He is going to be expensive, but I don't know where we go from a center position standpoint. Like, could we run at Brook Lopez? Sure. Does it make any sense? No. Because I don't think his window aligns with the Raptors' window. Christian Coloco, our pick last year, he's a good bench big, but I don't see him giving us 30 minutes a night. So I really hope we re-sign Poeltl, because I do not know what the alternative would be for us.
Yeah.
I really don't.
No, for sure. Yeah, you guys would just be a team of wings if you lose Fred VanVleet and Poeltl.
Oh, man.
No point guards.
We'd be Masai's dream.
Yeah, the future of the NBA for sure.
Yeah.
But probably not the present.
No, exactly, right? And I guess, like, the second team you really wanted to, then we have two teams that we both just wanted to highlight and cover, and we think they have interesting futures ahead of them. So you wanted to cover the Utah Jazz. So I find this one very interesting, because the Jazz are honestly a point guard away from being a lock for the playoffs. Because they have the front, I mean, especially with the John Collins trade makes things a bit interesting. But
yeah.
I do think they are one solid guard away from actually making some noise. But what are your thoughts?
I could definitely see them being like a play-in team next year with a decent true guard. I don't know. I'd say definitely like a few pieces away from like actually being competitive. But it sounds like they're bringing back a lot of the guys that made them a pretty surprising team last year. Obviously, you know, bringing in Collins, and then it sounds like Talen Horton-Tucker's back, Jordan Clarkson, and now Kelly Olynyk too. It's a lot of big depth. They had some players who like showed flashes down the stretch. Like Chris Dunn played really well last season. Like, and then he's probably not like a starting point guard or anything like that, but he's definitely like somebody who shouldered like a big part of the load, just averaging like 20 points over the last like 15 games or so. So yeah, definitely need to bring in a point guard if they want to be competitive. But yeah, I mean, there's also just the timeline there isn't super rushed. Like the future is really bright, and regardless of what happens, I think, you know, fans are going to be excited, and yeah, things are looking good.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they got very lucky, I think, in back-to-back drafts. I really like the Taylor Hendricks pick. But last year, with getting Walker Kessler from the Gobert deal, and then also Abaji, I think the two of them together, it's a very, very good, very, very good start for Danny Ainge, and I think Zinek is the GM's name.
A couple talented rookies too. Yeah, obviously Taylor Hendricks is gonna.
Oh, Cody Buffkin.
Yeah. Oh no, he's on the Hawks, right? I think
Keontae George.
Yeah, Keontae George is exciting. He's a real fun player to watch. Kind of reminds me of like a young James Harden, young James Harden.
There you go.
But yeah, very good ISO scorer, lefty who creates his own shot and scores at all three levels. But you know, super young, so. The window's going to be very long for the Jazz. It's going to be fun to see what happens in the next few years.
Yep, exactly. And then, so Utah future is bright. And then we look at the Dallas Mavericks, a team that accelerated its timeline twice with the Porzingis trade and now with the Kyrie trade. I love the draft. I think Lively and Omax were solid pickups. They both could play really well with Luka. So I think those were great picks, regardless of if Kyrie stays or Kyrie goes. But with that being said, the top priority has to be re-signing Kyrie. Ideally, you do not get to the fifth year. And I think, honestly, a three-year deal, maybe maxing him out for 3 years, that'd be ideal on many accounts. And then I think beyond Kyrie, if I think Bruce Brown is meeting with the Mavs at the start of free agency, that would be a phenomenal addition to the team because, I mean, he played with one heliocentric player in Jokic, and now he could play with Luka. I think that would be a very nice, it'd be ideal for us, and we'd be able to offer, I think the Mavericks could offer him about $5 million more than the Nuggets, because I think we'd probably have to give him the full taxpayer or non-tax MLE. So that would be a nice contract. And then this is my interesting thing for the Mavs. I think if they can figure out a way to trade Tim Hardaway Jr. and JaVale and bring in Miles Turner, that would be very nice. You'd
Yeah,
probably
that'd
have
be
to
a
attach
piece.
our 2026 first round pick, but I think Indy would be open to that because they have been shopping around Miles Turner for about 3, 4 years now.
Yeah,
So,
feels like,
and he's from
yeah.
Dallas as well. He is from Dallas.
No,
So
yeah, it
that would
feels
be
like
an
he spent
interesting trade.
his career on the trading block.
Honestly, yeah.
But yeah, I mean that would be a significant upgrade from Tim Hardaway and JaVale McGee for sure.
Yeah, I
We'll
mean,
definitely expect you guys to have to give up at least one
we
pick.
definitely got to give up one pick for that. But like, I think that would be worth it because he also stretches the floor. And that would be
Yeah.
a good guy to have in front of Derek Lively.
For sure. Would you rather have him than DeAndre
So, you know what? If we can get Buddy Hield and Miles Turner, I would rather have that than DeAndre Ayton. Because Buddy Hield's also been shopped for a couple of years. So I don't know if I'm willing to give up 2 first-round picks to get Turner and Hield. Like, I think that's worthwhile from a Maverick standpoint because Luka's only 24. But I think Ayton is a better player than Turner, but Turner fits better with Luka. So I think I'd rather have Miles Turner from the Mavericks than DeAndre Ayton. And I think Ayton makes a
Yeah.
lot more sense on the Pacers, personally. Like, I think
Yeah.
that'd be a very interesting, like, if you could make that a 3-team deal. I don't know how, because the Suns are hard capped. But that would be a very interesting, if that was possible, that'd be cool to see.
Yeah, I mean, DeAndre Ayton almost went to the Pacers last year,
Yeah,
so it'd be fun to see it
exactly.
happen this year. Yeah, I remember he's like gave India a big thank you because the Suns weren't gonna match or anything until the or they were gonna give him a much smaller contract, and then the Pacers came in and gave him a ton of money,
Really clutched up.
and
Yeah,
yeah, forced the Suns to pay up. So maybe there's something under the table.
who
Probably
knows?
not, though.
Maybe, no, probably not. Yeah. Then we also have, I guess, finally, the James Harden game. Not really a game, but more just. So I have two scenarios for you. Just in general, Harden opted into his contract, so now he's requesting a trade, right?
Yep.
I have two scenarios for you: Harden on the Knicks or Harden on the Clippers. So, what would you, I guess, in my opinion, like, what would you think would be a better fit for him? And do you think there's another suitor out there? But that's kind of the game, I guess, is like, here are two teams that are desperate enough to trade for James Harden at this stage of his career.
Sure.
What
Yeah, I mean,
do you think?
yeah, obviously it's gonna come down to like the package and what both of those teams can offer. But I'd say the team that makes more sense between the two is probably the Clippers. You know, I think it's gonna be a beautiful chaos with three of the more injury prone players in the league starring on a team together. I don't even know if they'll ever like play a game together. But just two out of the three, you know, makes them legit.
Does.
Obviously not going to be a ton of role players left over or anything, but you know, they're all three players who can shoulder a lot of the load when they're healthy. And then yeah, in terms of the Knicks, I think I just don't think James Harden can play Tom Thibodeau minutes at 34. I don't think his body's built for that, and I think James Harden thinks that wherever he goes is a disaster. He always is frustrated with the coaching staff and the players around him, and it's hard for me to see him suddenly turning things around, working with a coach he's not fun to work with, working with Julius Randle. It's tough for me to see.
Yeah, no, that's fair. So I was thinking this from this standpoint. This was, I guess, I also think Harden on the Clippers makes the most sense if he's not on the Sixers next year. So I have this three-team trade that I have. Harden to the Clippers, Paul George to the Knicks, and then you have Barrett, Toppin, well, Harden and some picks to the Clippers. Paul George to the Knicks, and then you have Barrett, Toppin, Fournier to the Sixers. And a couple of picks. And basically, this opens up the door for a Joel Embiid, Damian Lillard partnership in either Portland or Philadelphia. It's kind of because I think Dame wants to. Brian Windhorst had something about how Dame ideally would play with a great big man. So if Dame could somehow make his way to, if Philly could somehow replace Harden with Dame, I'm not saying Portland's going to trade straight up Harden for Dame, but if Philly can get more young players to package for Damian Lillard, I think that'd be interesting. Like a package with like Tyrese Maxey and RJ Barrett and like three first-round picks would be more attractive than like Tyrese Maxey, Tobias Harris, and one first-round pick. But I don't know. This is it's wishful thinking, but it's a very interesting. And Paul George had a Randall on his podcast, and it, you could tell that he really like was attracted to the idea of playing in the Garden. But it's an interesting trade. I don't know. I don't know. But
Yeah, I mean,
that was kind of my thing. And the salaries would actually work for this deal. It would just be a matter of like the Clippers. Would they do this? I don't. I don't think they'd give up PG for Harden, but if they, I don't know. It depends, right? Because PG hasn't been reliable for the Clippers for 4 years, so we'll see.
I think they definitely have to be enticed by some good picks. I think the Knicks as well. It's tough for me to see them wagering their entire future on a guy who just hasn't been healthy for like the last 2 years.
Yeah, I guess so. But if yeah, I guess the picks would probably be just one or two. I don't know. Yeah, that's a good point.
It's not, I mean, this is a crazy trade that would break the NBA if
Yeah,
Damian
right.
Lillard becomes a part of it.
No,
It's just,
it'd be the next
yeah,
scenario.
be
Yeah,
like,
but yeah, it'd be the
obviously like a
precursor, but who
downstream
knows?
kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think Dame could come to Philly without a trade like this happening.
You, but how, yeah,
I mean,
that's
obviously,
true.
yeah, James Harden wouldn't be there in theory. In theory, they acquire like significant assets from a James Harden trade, and then maybe they can leverage that to get Dame. But we'll see.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting to see. Also, I guess like with what we saw with Daryl Morey with Ben Simmons, he waited until he got like James Harden in return. So he is known to wait out until he gets the best deal. It will probably be the
Yeah.
same. It'll probably be the
No,
same
Daryl
for
Morey.
him.
Yeah. I would be very frustrated if I was another GM trying to make deals with Daryl Morey, because
Oh
it often feels like he's just trying to prove a point. He'll
yeah.
just like,
Definitely.
wait past the trade deadline and not trade players that he said he would trade just to like stick it to other people.
Yeah.
And so yeah, you never know with that guy. It's fun when he's the GM of your team, but not when he is the GM of a chaotic Philly team.
Yeah. And I guess to wrap up the episode here, one final question for both of us, but who would be your most underrated free agent signing? And a player that we didn't mention earlier.
Ooh, good question.
Most underrated free agent signing.
Yeah.
Like for any
I'll
team,
let
just
you
in general, most underrated free agent.
For sure.
I think, well, for me, probably Ayo Dosunmu. Ayo on
Desuma? Yeah,
the
Ayo
Dosunmu,
Desuma.
yeah. I think he'd be very, he feels very Bruce Brown-esque in terms of the way he's a, I think he's a better shooter, but the way he cuts and moves off ball, and then he's a very pesky on-ball defender. And Chicago, we'll see if Chicago re-signs him, but if he does hit the open, if he's on the open market for a while, I think that'd be a very enticing pickup for a lot of teams because he would definitely not, I don't, he would not go for the full taxpayer, or he wouldn't go for like the 12 million mid-level exception. I think he'd probably be more like probably 5 to 7 million a year. And I think that'd be a very underrated signing. And again, a guy who can handle the ball, but is also a great cutter. And he's totally flown under the radar. So I think he'd be a very interesting and very underrated signing for a lot of teams. He'd be a very useful player.
Yeah, no, I was high out on him coming out of college. I think he's a talented athlete. Definitely like ideal as a good energy guy off the bench, I think.
Yeah.
Somebody that I'm surprised that we didn't talk about, I think we'll get one of the bigger contracts in free agency is D'Angelo Russell.
Oh, shoot,
I'm
yeah.
especially surprised we didn't talk about him in the context of the Raptors,
Oh,
who
man.
could would love a point guard who's able to shoot. I think after the playoffs, he's probably become a little bit underrated, a little bit undervalued. And so I think if the Lakers don't re-sign him, which I still say they're the leader to, I'd say the Raptors have the second best shot. I think they're he makes sense. He's not like sexy. He's not a top 10 point guard or anything like that, but he's still, somebody who raises the floor pretty significantly wherever he goes, and
That's a good
somebody
point.
who will start day one.
Yeah, I mean, and it'd be very funny to see the TikToks that he and Grady come up with. So, oh
Yeah,
man.
hopefully Grady's not cheating on anybody.
No, yeah, hopefully we don't have the Nick Young 2.0.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure Grady has like 50 women that are just constantly in rotation, and
Jeez.
Toronto has the most attractive woman in the world. Am I right?
I think
You can
we'll
cut
leave
this
that one up.
part.
We'll leave that
Okay.
one up. We'll leave that one up to Grady.
Fair
Yeah. All right. Well,
enough.
thank you again for joining, Jacob. And thank you guys for listening. And again, shout out to Spotify for hosting us. And we'll be
Shout out
back with more
Spotify.
content. Thank you.
Yep.